Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this April the 13th on the West Coast, now April the 14th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We would also like to welcome you, ladies and gentlemen, out there listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, and hope that you find tonight's show very inspirational. Well, with all the madness that's going on in the world, and we pay attention to what's going on with the U.S. economy, with the housing market, with genetically modified foods, tainted water, pharmaceutical drugs that have more side effects than they do the ability to alleviate illness, and that's a whole show in and of itself. However, we are neglecting ourselves, and we're calling Wednesdays this month of April Wellness Wednesday for a reason, and that's so that we get back, get centered, and pay attention to our particular needs, physically, mentally, and spiritually. And we are going to be discussing those issues with Dr. Wayne Pickering. But before we bring him on, I thought I would sort of motivate you with some very interesting music that I'm sure you'll recognize. And it applies in theory and foundationally to the topics that we're going to discuss tonight. And allow me to exhort you, in the words of James Brown, to get up off of that thing.
Follow me!
Boy, if James Brown didn't help you shake off the cobwebs and loosen up your joints, I don't know what will. But that was Get Up Off of That Thing. Let me move right on ahead and bring on tonight's guest, and we'll get his opinion about this motivational music. Our guest is a nutritional consultant, among other things. He is also an author, a professional speaker, and a motivator par extraordinaire, we'll say. And he is lending his talents, his skills, and his wisdom and a wealth of experience to Evident Footprints to give you an alternative to what you've been hearing for many, many years. His methods have been proven to work and to benefit the lives of many, many people who have been struggling with personal issues of all sorts, be they physical, motivational, in terms of their vocation, or even spiritual. And he is a living example of what he teaches. I welcome again to Evident Footprints on Wellness Wednesday, Dr. Wayne Pickering, the Mango Man.
God bless you there, but Don, thank you very much. Let me tell you, that music, you really went to the archives for that one, brother. That was a good one. You know what I've learned, too, and it's cohesive with that song. We can't hire somebody to do our push-ups for us. Got to do them ourselves. We must take charge of our health. We really do. And healthy people have lots of goals. Unhealthy people only have one goal. So when you talked a little bit there, you just alluded to it a moment, but and I think we might have even made mention on our last time together about side effects.
Mm-hmm.
Too many people, let's say, they appease their... it's a cushion. Let me put it this way. It's very much a cushion when we say side effects. There's mm-hmm. no such thing as toxic side effects.
Yeah.
Those are the effects.
Yes, and, exactly.
You know,
well,
and
you
I think
tongue in cheek, of course.
Yeah, and I think that people really, if they understood that there's no such thing as that, that those are, and we really must take control of our health because there's nobody that's going to do it for us. You can't go to a hospital to get well. Any doctor will tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
You can never go to a hospital to get well. You don't go to a hospital to get well. You go home to get well. You go to the hospital to get care.
Yes.
Now, how about if we get things on a roll tonight by talking a little bit about what health is not? Can we do that?
Sure, absolutely.
Well, first of all, it's not the absence of disease. People actually think they're healthy, Don, if they're not sick. And nothing could be further from the truth. Let me tell you what health really is. And this is my synopsis, and then I'm going to read you a definition here from the Blue Cross, Blue Shield of North Dakota, who really put it together succinctly. Here's my summation of what health really is. Number one, it is not the absence of the systems of disease. It is the presence of complete nerve energy, and it comes from protecting our bodies from too much, like excess. And actually, we're going to find out here in this first component of this series that we have that disease is really your friend. And it's warning us that, hey, it's time to stop, take a look at what we're doing to our bodies, warning us that, hey, something is wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's telling us to stop the abuse and clean house. Pain is nature's way of saying we still have the ability to heal ourselves, and to ignore it and continue the habits that got us there and try to take a drug with this numerous toxic effects to them, it's ludicrous. So now here's what Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Dakota said about what health really is. It is the complete state, I'm going to read you this now, okay? It is the complete state of physical fitness, sound mental health, and it's your birthright. It's a lifestyle that composes sound health and outstanding physical and mental fitness, costs little to maintain. It can't be stolen from you or taxed. It's enjoyable almost from the first moment, and it's well within your grasp. Now, last paragraph here, it says, a healthy lifestyle not only will add to the length of your life, but will also improve the quality of your life, the richness and simple joy of being alive, living longer, and living fit, and allows you thousands more hours of vibrant and active living, a wider range of activity, and the opportunity for greater accomplishment. It will allow you to experience life with added strength, vitality, creativity, and pleasure. I thought, how succinct could that be? Now, here's something else that I'm going to say as a couple little benefits to this whole series that we have in place for you with the How to Get Well, Then Stay Well for Life, Don.
Okay.
You're going to be able to sleep better. You're going to awaken every morning feeling a lot more rested. You're going to be able to cope with stress easier. And the only people, we're going to come back here within the year or so and do our series on stress that you and I have discussed already. But the only people who don't have stress are dead people. We've all got stress. In our many conversations, yours and my conversations, that we've talked about many different issues, we've all got stress in our lives. The only people who don't have stress are dead people. So you're going to learn how to cope with it easier. You're going to have so much energy. Ah, it's great. And your mental abilities are greatly improved. There's just my goal with this whole program is to show you how you can live 100% totally free of all those aches and pains and disease and all of that. And here's the nice thing about it. You did mention this, and I think it's a good fit right now. We do hear a lot about doom and gloom. There is so much negativity around us. So, and these kind of things that we're hearing more of today have really been around, as you and I have discussed in our private conversations, for hundreds of years. We're hearing more of it, but we're living in freedom. And regardless, you left the country and came back. We talked about that. And one of the nice things about it, I've never heard of anybody trying to swim to Poland.
Mm-hmm.
And they're swimming to this country every day. This North America is no slouch. And we are living in freedom to relish our health. And I believe we're created in the image of health and happiness. And too many of us try to increase our standard of living before we increase the quality of our life. So regarding what health is and what health isn't, let me leave you with a little thought. Never give up your health in your quest for wealth, because you will spend all the wealth to regain your health. And then here's what happens when you die. Your brother-in-law gets to drive your car. Now, as a lot of folks would say, that's a bummer. So I think that one of the key things we need to be aware of in our quest to be healthier is to fear our ability to adjust. If you put a frog in hot water, boom, it's going to jump right out.
Mm-hmm.
But if you put a frog in cold water and bring it to a boil, he will perish because of his ability to adjust. And it's going to involve some changes in your lifestyle and all of that. So I would like to suggest this. Nobody likes change except a wet baby. And we all want what we want when the want is more than the effort. This whole program that we've put together for you is so easy and so simple. And most importantly, it's cheap. Being healthy is cheap. Being sick, that's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Wayne, if I could ask a question, and I guess this is for myself as much as the listening audience. You mentioned stress, I mentioned stress even in my opening remarks. We've never really been given an exact definition of stress. And I suppose to a lot of people it means something different, just by the way people react. But there is an imbalance of energy, I'm sure, probably leaning toward the negative side. And so it affects one's nervous system, which affects the way the heart muscle pumps blood and oxygen through the body and basically how all the organs function. It affects the mind, and I suppose both the conscious and subconscious mind are affected by what's going on. And so people react differently, but how would you define it if you were to put it in simple terms that somebody could say, hey, that's what I have, or I see myself in these situations feeling stress.
Okay, well, let me share this maybe a little bit way around the question, but I think if I add this to it, it'll all come together.
Okay.
Stress, first of all, is nothing outside of the body. Stress really, in my stress psoriasis, the only reason it's stressful is because we keep thinking about it. That's all. And you can eat the best, and you can be in great shape, physically fitness. Your physical fitness can be right there. You can be consuming the best water. But if you don't have your thoughts together, oh boy, that'll put you down in a big way. I've seen people in let's call it the health movement, and who are so stressed and they die in their 50s and 60s. We must get our thoughts together. And here's a good line for us to be thinking about. Until we handle it with grace, it will stay in our face. And the longer we hate, the stronger our fate. Now, everything in life, I'm convinced. First of all, I think I might have shared this before, and it's a good fit now again. We are a spirit with a body that enhouses it, governed by our minds, stimulated with emotion. And when we become so incongruent through a lack of good mental composure, and we're going to be discussing that a lot in our attitude portion of the How to Get Well and Stay Well for Life series. But Everything is twofold. Everything is a thought, and everything is energy. The energy-producing part of our lives, when our outgo of energy through stress, poor health habits, lousy food, not enough rest, hate, when our outgo of energy exceeds our income through love, forgiveness, self-love, you got to tell yourself you love yourself. I mean, how can we expect anybody else to tell us that they love us if we don't love ourselves? So when our outgo of energy exceeds our income, then our upkeep through statin drugs, psychiatric visits, and all that other stuff becomes our downfall. So when our outgo of energy exceeds our income, our upkeep becomes our downfall. That's the energy portion of the twofold I'm going to share with you.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing...
Oh,
what's that?
I just wanted to make a quick comment because you're clarifying something about the cause or the nature of stress. What brings it about? And it appears to me that the majority of people in the world, because of the way the world is set up to run, as this geo-financial machine, that people's predominant thoughts are about accumulating wealth or just accumulating enough wealth to get by. And that's probably the biggest factor. They are producers, the ones who are producing the wealth through their work, and then they're having it taken away from them.
Oh, yes.
You know, well, in the nutshell, that's what's going on.
Well, here's another thing about too many people, I find, are letting their net worth dictate their self-worth. We should never do that. You're an awesome person. You have to be looking. What's that?
Thank you.
Oh, no, that too. Yeah, you're not half bad either. But my point is here, everything is a thought and everything is energy.
Yes.
So now we've got the energy down. What about the thought? There are five things that will govern our thoughts. Very simply, and the first one I feel is probably the most important of the five. It's the people we associate with the most. We cannot not be influenced by the people we associate with. People from New Jersey, New York, and the Northeast, they'll come to Florida for maybe a year, 6 months, whatever, and they go back up north, and their buddies say, you sound different. You eat like that now? Boy, you dress different. You know that? What's up with that, boy? And the whole problem is, we're not problem so much, but the whole point to that is we're as good as the company we keep. We listen to the types of music, we pick up food habits, we pick up everything. So it's crucial to go ahead and associate yourself with health-conscious people and positive people. So the first of the five things that govern our thoughts. Look, this program you and I are doing right now was a thought. This actual whole last 4 years in your this part of your career was a thought.
Yes.
Everything is a thought. So the five things that govern our thoughts, the phone I'm on now was a thought. The company we keep. And the second one is what we read and watch, which is so crucial that we've got 24 hours in a day. And it's known that the average American watches television 5 to 6 hours every single day. Now, let's take the high end of that, because as I mentioned, most of the hosts of all the radio programs that we do, I would say 80% of them, they never watch television.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sure they're going to have good programs on there, goodness sakes. But it's just long enough, because people don't want to get up and move around, just long enough to put those mind-insulting ads on there that they're feeding you this thing, and then within 30 seconds they've got a drug that's going to appease the condition that when you ate that particular type of food, that caused it. It's a hoot.
Yeah.
It's a hoot.
Or if you're watching C-SPAN and listening to the government speak, and then you change channels and get the drug commercial. You know, it's the same
yes.
thing.
So what we read and watch is crucial, and what we listen to is the third one. Every morning when I wake up, I always do my devotions, and here's a little thing that I would encourage the audience to do, is thank your source, if it's God, if it's Buddha, if it's Allah, whomever, thank your source for three things every day that you weren't grateful for before. At the end of a year, you will have enough material in there to make at least 2 to 3 CDs. And I put some music behind it, and I started reading this day just from 1 year. And I have a few years of them, but just 1 year made 2 full CDs. Now, I put one of those CDs on in the morning. I put one of that's my grateful list. I'll put one of our Motivational Minutes CDs on, which we have 6 of those. And I have one of my goal or to-do list on another one. So I have to work every morning before I get to hear any kind of music. So what we listen to is crucial. And by the way, it's known that if you drive 10,000 miles a year in your car and listen to self-improvement audio programs in your car, 10,000 miles is the same as getting 1 year's college degree. 20,000, 2 years, 40,000 miles, you've got a 4-year college degree. Listen to things that you're very, very passionate about. And and watch how, what is it, the more you learn, the more you earn. We're going to be talking all about that in our Living Abundantly series. However, we've got three of those five that govern our thoughts: the company we keep, what we read and watch, what we listen to, and here's another one, the fourth one, the words we speak. I want this. I want that. Well, your mind is going to register that as always, I want, I want, I want.
Which is a lack, isn't it?
Yes, exactly.
It's an affirmation of lack.
There you go.
Yes.
So what we do is should say, I now have, or thank you very much for. But here's the fifth one, what we consume. So if it's good food or bad food, if it's bad water, bad air, all of those. So those two things we need to be concerned with in our life, our thoughts and our energy. And if we get that down and understand that this body is a spirit with a body that enhouses it, governed by our minds, stimulated with emotion, now we got it. But I'm finding so many people are looking to make changes with their health habits, and they really, you know, they're all mixed up. They don't have it. So this series, can we get into that just a little bit?
Please do. Yes.
Yeah, when we're looking to make some health changes, what are some things that we really need to consider? Well, first of all, you've got to figure this. What kind of health are you in right now? Now, you've got to ask yourself this. What is the opposite of love? Hate. What is the opposite of up? Down. Well, what is the opposite of health? We know it as disease. Well, why people go to somebody who studies disease when they want to learn how to be healthy is a mystery to me. So what kind of health are you in now, and seek out some good health advice and not disease appeasement, if you will. All right, here's the second thing I want you to consider, but when you're looking to change your health habits. Do you have strong genetics? Number three, do you want it bad enough? How bad do you want it? And I've mentioned this, I think, a few times in our times together, but people only want what they want when the want is more than the effort. And everything that you're going to learn in this series is so simple and it's so easy that you wonder, why isn't this being taught? Well, first of all, the health of our country relies on us being sick. You know that, Don. You've been around the block, and you and I, well, I know we're over 55, okay? I'll be 64 in June, and I've learned this. You can't be 60 and be stupid. You got to know something. So here's the fourth one. Will you discipline yourself along the way? Now, here's a biggie. What is the iatrogenic? That's physicians-induced disease. What is the iatrogenic harm on your body, if any? Now, Dr. Truat and I have shared many programs together, and he and I have talked about this many times. We should stop worrying so much about the war on terror. We need to consider about the war on error. Now, if everybody will get their pens out, and by the way, when I'm thinking about that, I can remember Paul Harvey. I never forgot him saying this. Mary Ellen has no more gallbladder trouble. She just gave birth to an 8-pound baby boy. What a surprise to her. She didn't know she was pregnant. What a surprise to her husband. He didn't know she was pregnant. But what an even greater surprise to her physician who diagnosed her with gallbladder trouble. Page 2. And he went on. So go to google.com and type in 20 tips to help prevent medical errors, and get that report by the Government Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality. And you can also, if you just go to the AHRQ, Apple Henry Reverse Q, like Queen, .gov, AHRQ.gov. You can go there and get all those. As a matter of fact, I have to take some more continuing education credits here in another 2 weeks, and part of that CEU credits I have to get on medical errors. And here these are medical people. This is quite something. These medical people are coming in teaching us and showing us all about medical errors.
It's a strange dichotomy, because when you bring up these topics that you're bringing forth, Wayne, people meet some sort of internal resistance, which has been programmed into them for a long time, that when a person has issues related to health, the doctors are the experts. And they're not giving us the right answers, and the approach certainly could be tweaked somewhat to produce solution-oriented results as opposed to masking the illness.
The symptoms. You
know? The symptoms is what we're saying, yeah.
Well, do you see, Don, very, very well said, and that was a nice way of putting it. Medical errors right now are the sixth leading cause of death in the United States alone. And most errors come about by these complex healthcare system that we have today. And they also come about, you know, when we have, doctors and patients, they're having problems communicating with each other. And, for example, when you go to that AHRQ.com site, they found that doctors often do not give enough to help their patients make informed decisions. And so what can you do? Here's the great thing to do. Be involved in your own health care. The single most important way that you can help prevent medical errors is to be an active member in your health care team. Now, what does that mean? That means taking a part in every decision about your health care. And research shows that patients who are more involved with their health care tend to get better results. And here's three websites I want you to go, and you'll get some specific tips based on the latest scientific evidence about what really works best. Here's three websites for everybody. The three W's, JCAHO.org, JCAHO.org, and you'll have the National Patient Safety Goals there. Now, here's the second one, the three W's, .IHI.org, and look at the article in there, Protecting 5 Million Lives from Harm. Very, very good. And here's the third one, the three W's, .voiceforpatients, V-O-I-C-E, the number 4, patients, patients.com. Now you've got some ammunition there to show you how you can be a member of your active healthcare team, or be an active member, I should say. Now, by the way, here's something else I want you to know about hospitals. Hospital thievery is rampant. Now, who'd ever thought that hospital thievery would be just at the magnitude that it is? When you get these reports that I'm sharing with you on these websites, well, this will blow your mind. Don't wear your jewelry when you go to a hospital. Goodbye, jewelry. Never take cash. Never take your purse or your wallet, only one credit card, and that's on your person at all times. And you might also want to take your contact information with some of your medical history. And remember, never wear your expensive shoes. Goodbye, shoes. I am shocked. And when I take these CEU courses and get all this, you know, and it's, you know, we get these workbooks, and I mean, I can't believe this. By the way, here's an interesting observation, Don. Hospitals and hell both begin with H. You know what I'm talking about? So here's the Journal of American Medical Association. They tell us that as many as 106,000 deaths occur every year in the United States alone due to adverse reactions to prescription drugs that are properly prescribed by physicians and that are used as directed by the drug companies. 106,000 died just of that, and even worse. The National Cancer for Patient Information and Education report that another 125,000 deaths occur annually due to adverse reactions to drugs that the physician should have never prescribed. And in these deaths, the doctor didn't follow the instruction on the proper administration of those drugs. Now, here's, you have to figure this. The annual death toll from synthetic prescription drugs, both correctly prescribed and incorrectly prescribed, they amount to over 230,000 deaths every year. And you put that into perspective, that's the equivalent of a World Trade Center disaster every week for a year and a half, or the crash of two fully launched or loaded 747 aircraft every day of the year.
Well, those figures that you just stated are eight times what they predicted during the alleged swine flu or bird flu pandemic. Seems to me we have a hospital pandemic.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's too bad that, and I'm not supporting drugs in the streets, illegal drugs or anything like that, but isn't it too bad that we look down our noses at people who die of overdoses of drugs in the street? But interestingly enough, if they die of that same drug, if it was issued by their pharmacist, it seems to gain respectability. I mean, it's a hoot.
Yes.
Now, the biggest dumping grounds, in my view and experience, for pharmaceutical drugs are babies. There's five of them. Babies. It's shocking at the amount of deaths of babies before they're ever a year old from drugs. And some of the insurance right now is so high on some of those drugs, I don't want to single too many of them out, but they're actually thinking of banning them from the market because the insurance is so high on them. But babies, then the sick, people actually put drugs that have toxic effects to them into a body that's already sick. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
And then schools, the military. Now, you and I have discussed our times in the military in our private conversations.
Well, I wasn't in the military myself, but I was around military personnel on a regular basis.
Yes, that I should have clarified that. Thank you.
Yeah.
But the military, I can remember when we were in boot camp, Don, we had 17 shots within a six-week period, and eight of those was in with a 10-second period. And if you had, and it's called the Flying Eight, by the way, if you had only seen how many of the guys went into convulsions and a host of those other diseases with strep throat, sick, crud coming out of their body. I mean, it was awful. And, of course, the fifth group of the biggest dumping ground for these pharmaceutical drugs, the babies, the sick, the schools, the military, is the elderly. Now, here's the sixth thing to consider when you're trying to get your health in some semblance of order. Remember this. You may never again regain the pristine level of health that you were blessed with when you were born. But at least let's make the remaining number of years as best they can be. Now, I'm going to give you a little something here by a great physician, medical doctor, who's over 50 years in the profession, Dr. Melvin Belts, MD. He came to our church this one time, and he has spent 23 years on the vascular team, 15 years in addition to that as an orthopedic surgeon. Now he's over 80 years young, travels all over the world, and speaks about the subject of preventive health versus corrective health. And here's what he said this time, and I loved it. He said, there's never been a drug that was ever invented that ever healed anybody. And he's very true on that, too. We've never ever found a drug either. He said, there are some that may halt a disease process, but they will never heal. And he says, there is never a medicine that isn't a poison. Now, my point is, if anybody questions that, just look at any PDR, your physician's desk reference, and it's going to list all of the toxic side effects of drugs. They call them toxic side effects. That's just a different column, but those are the effects. But Dr. Belts goes on to say, our total lifestyle is the cause of all of the diseases that's going around, he says. The more we live like the world, the more we die like the world. So I think that if we looked at those six things, and here's Dr. Lester Breslow, for example. He says, he's the dean of the School of Public Health in Los Angeles, California. He says, just by switching your lifestyle from a bad one to a better one, you can expect to add as much as 14 years to your life. So for you to tune in to these shows that Don and I are doing over the next year to learn how to add years to your life, that's a very good trade-off. Now, one little piece of encouragement that I would like to share with you before we move on. Never let age be your cage. Never let age be your cage. There's no such thing as age causing sickness. We're going to get rid of that myth once and for all in this whole series. Come back to me, Don.
Well, you know, as you made that last statement about age, you recalled to my memory an individual who had come into my piano store and inquired about getting a keyboard. He had been a security guard of the Stars at Paramount Studios his whole career, and he had retired. And he was wondering what he was going to do with the rest of his life. And he made a comment, you know, if I could learn to play one of these instruments, I would get one right now. And I said, well, you can learn. We give lessons here. You can certainly learn how to play it. What would stop you beyond that from investing in an instrument? And he said, well, I think I'm too old to learn.
Oh.
And I said, when does a person stop learning? And he says, he thought about it for a second, and he said, well, when they die. And I said, so either you're still old enough to learn, or I'm speaking to a dead man. he laughed, and of course, he purchased an instrument. And
good.
To see the change in his demeanor over the next 6 months was a miracle. He came in energized and, you know, really fired up about learning and about playing. And he remarked how much better he felt about himself and how much more wholesome his marriage became, because his wife enrolled in the classes, too. She was the motivating force. She was the one that really wanted to get the instrument in the first place. He used himself as the objection to not getting it. But it was just a simple matter of straightening out his thought. You see, those thought patterns are sort of ingrained in our subconscious, and they come out when we speak, and we probably wouldn't even say those things intentionally. But we react automatically because of all of the programming and the disinformation that we've been spoon-fed throughout our lives. Would you agree with that? Or?
Oh, very, very, very much so, really. We have to deprogram our minds. And I want to give you the best definition I've ever heard of disease right now, because here's the deal. When you're through learning, you're through. You know, when we were growing up, we thought, well, when you get to be 60, oh, gosh, no, forget about it. When you get to be 70, oh, no, you're over the hill. It's hopelessly old-fashioned kind of thing, see? But the older I've gotten, the busier I've become, and I'm in so much more demand, and I praise God about that. I'm very, very fortunate, of course. But in finding, if we honor God and serve our fellow man, creating a service out of what we are genuinely passionate about so that everybody who is involved in that service has equal opportunity to gain, then we all win. When we come back and do living abundantly, you're going to discover all of that. And my passion through all of my disease, the stresses that I've had, that put me flat on my back for days in bed for the stress that qualified me to teach stress, I'll tell you for sure, because I had to get out of that bed and say, get up and move on this, start learning. Never let age be your cage, everybody. Here's a great definition of disease. If something is dishonest, we know it's not honest. If it's discontinued, it's not continued. If it's diseased, that means it's not at ease. Something is not right here. The definition of disease, in my view, if you've got cancer in your lung, you've got cancer in your toe, you've got cancer in your ear. So all disease is a name tag for location. There's nothing mystical about disease. It's a universal act of a universal plan. It's innate. It's subcortical. It's perfect every time. And it's infinite wisdom. Here's what it really is. It's divine intelligence to preserve the integrity of our wonderful body. And there's great benefits to disease. Oh, sure, there's plenty. But let's just touch base on a couple of them. Would that be okay, Don?
Sure.
Oh, number one, it gives people a day off of work, especially those who don't like the job. It really helps you to appreciate your health once again. As I mentioned, the healthy people have lots of goals. Unhealthy people only have one goal. It's probably the greatest conversational piece I know of. Since I live on an island here eastern Florida, northeastern Florida, in the little north of Daytona Beach in Ormond by the Sea, every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, I stretch on the beach for 30 to 45 minutes in the morning, and then I either swim a half a mile on Monday, three quarters Tuesday, Thursday is a mile, Friday is a mile and a half. Every week we do that, and from April 1st to November 1st. So as I'm on the beach, you'll hear some people walking by, and you can actually hear them grumble about their problems so much that I think they really should have won first prize of who's in the worst condition. So never talk about your illness. Most people do that because they get more attention from the problem than embracing the solution. Of course, it's America's biggest industry. The two industries that produce the bulk of our gross national product both begin with P, pharmaceutical and petroleum. And interestingly enough, both of those are dependent on each other. Most pharmaceuticals are petroleum-based.
Mm-hmm.
So, and here's the last benefit to disease. It's really our best friend, and it's our best guarantee against disease. Now, here are a few reasons why we get sick. First of all, disease doesn't stem from a season. It stems from a reason. You don't catch colds. You don't catch flu. You don't catch AIDS. You don't catch all that stuff. You earn it, and it doesn't stem from a season. Notice in the spring, people get colds, and they get allergy shots, and they do all of this stuff. What is happening is their body is going into a completely different season, and their body has to deal with barometric pressures, climatic conditions, hot and colds, and sometimes the weather will adjust 40 or 50 degrees from one day to the next. And so your body has to deal with that. So you go through a little house cleaning. You don't catch the flu. People get flu shots because in the summer they partied, they drank a lot, they did this, they did that, and then coming into the fall, oh boy, their body's really got to gear up for a new season. So all of these diseases can be cured within the body, and be healed, because the difference between curing and healing is dramatic. Curing is something mankind tries to do. Healing is something the body will do. When we give it the right environment and the proper biological imperatives, I call them, and it's basically what we'll be talking about through this whole series. So Here's a valuable lesson. We don't catch disease. We earn it. Things just don't happen. They happen justly. And here's a little something I've made a point about several times, Don. Colds, I don't know where they come up with a cold. Actually, a cold should be called a heat because the body actually heats up. And to make it very simple, melts the mucus in our body, gets rid of it through one of our four or probably all four of our methods of elimination, our skin, our liver, our kidneys, our lungs, and it's our lungs, skin, bowels, and kidneys. That's our four methods of elimination. But here's what the U.S. News and World Report has just said, and they did this, pardon me, they just didn't say it, they did this back in 1989. Don, do you know that they closed the research lab in England that was trying to, you know, search for the cure for the common cold? They finally threw up their hands and gave in the towel, and they said this, actually, the cold is the cure.
Mm-hmm.
And in a recent study by a team of medical doctors from John Hopkins up there in Baltimore, headed by Dr. Timothy Lauren, here's what they said. Embrace the heat of the fever because it helps the immune system kill the virus. But everybody tries to get the fever down. No. Leave it go. And usually the innate intelligence of the body tells us the level of toxicity the body has usually denotes the higher the temperature. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, the average person at the point where either the parent notices the child has a fever or that adult has a fever seeks some kind of medication to alleviate it, but they're just... They're doing what? I'll allow you to say that.
Well, they're doing a great disservice, man. They're doing a great disservice. The cold is the cure. Now, in my opinion, what really causes the disease, it's not age. The quality of our life depends upon the quality of life of ourselves. And I was listening to a great seminar one time by Dr. J. Milton Hoffman. He said there's three ways our cells die, because all disease is nothing more than uncleanliness of the cell. The disease has to be fed or it will die. And the three ways the cells die is lack of oxygen, disturbance like drugs or the like, or a physical rupture like an accident. So here's what Dr. Milton Hoffman had to say. There are three things you must do, he was 88 when I heard him speak, that you have to do to be sickness-free. Get plenty of oxygen to the tissue, keep your blood alkaline, and we'll talk about the acid-alkaline balance here coming up soon so that you can understand more about how to really get well once and for all in your life. But he said, get plenty of oxygen to the tissue, keep your blood alkaline, and keep your blood free flowing. When you have arthritis, allergies, indigestion, all that really means, everybody, is that there's a part of your body that needs some attention. It's your body's resistance against a series of causes. When we come back next week, I'm going to show you that germs don't cause disease. We do. No such thing as germs causing disease. It's impossible. Now, last week, I did something very special for our audience. I gave a very special on the perfect mini diet, because our nutrition, it's so crucial to get that down in our life. And I gave them Health at Last, $600 worth of goods free, and that $200 worth of value on Perfect Mini Diet, Perfect Mini, M-I-N-I, Diet, it's only going to cost $27. Now you got the nutrition down. Now I decided to give away healthatlast.com, $603 worth of goods, absolutely free. And I told everybody to put health at last beside their name. I made a huge blunder there and was not familiar with our new shopping cart, because we have two shopping carts.
Mm-hmm.
And I messed up. And so many people called and emailed us, say, well, we can't do that. So I decided to come back this week when we were had the schedule, and I said, I've got to, what could you say, appease that and apologize for that. So if you still want to do that, you may do that, and you've got till, what's today, Wednesday, Thursday? You've got till Friday to take care of that very once-only special. We've never done that before. We did the Don Nikoloff show on the Evident Print.
Footprints, yeah.
Yes, Footprints, right. So go to perfectminidiet.com, get that site, and you've got till Friday to do that. And my office will know that we need to give that away for everybody that purchases that. We're going to give away that complete Health at Last series, hour of coaching, which is normally $150. You get that free, personal coaching. You get audio, special reports, everything to keep you wholesomely healthy. So, Don, I know that we're out of time. When we come back next week, let's get back into germs don't cause disease. We do.
Okay. As a parting word, if you would, we've covered a number of topics. And I know my listening audience is very good at focusing on a theme over a week, a week's time. We've done this many times with scientist inventor Jim Murray. And they come back the following week changed often. Or, you know, they present solutions. They present alternative possibilities to what we have accepted for so many years as our lot in life, as if we have no impact over it. And what would you suggest folks do besides subscribing and getting this wonderful offer that you're making? How can they apply themselves to begin working on themselves?
By all means, the first and most important thing is to get your thoughts together. Start thinking good things. Tune into nature. Tune into some good things. And don't let anything on the outside dictate what's going on the inside. But here are three great lessons about your health. You never catch disease. You earn it. And it stems from crud in the blood, from being drunk with junk. That's why I decided to make that very special offer available to you. Here's the second thing. You're already healthy automatically by design. You cut yourself, whether you tell it to or not, it's going to heal. It's subcortical. It's infinite wisdom. It's without thought. It just doesn't. So you're healthy automatically by design and sick only by default. And here's the third lesson for you to be thinking about until we get together again. You only get well by what comes out of you, never by what goes into you. Start writing down, well, okay, let's say you're feeling very good, and that evening or the next morning, you're not feeling quite as good. What did I do? You have to think about, what did you do? So a great tip, and it has saved my life more than once, I'll grant you. Start keeping a track. Put it in your computer. Have a file in there. Mine is called My Personal Ailments and What Causes Them. And when something, I finally track it back to what's bothering me, I write it in that. I type it in my file. And then when that symptom hits me again, if it's 6 months later, I say, oh, I remember that. What did I do wrong? So I'll just go in there and save me a lot of time. I never take a drug. Aspirin is foolish. I mean, all that stuff is ridiculous. We're programmed to take this for this and this for that. No, we don't want to do that. Create a file and say, okay, what did I do wrong? And then don't do that anymore. So that would be a nice little thing to remember here. Start writing down the things, and when we get together next week, you're going to learn that germs don't cause disease. We do.
Well, Dr. Wayne, I appreciate you summarizing it like that. I think it it ties it all together and simplifies it for folks. If you take this to heart, folks, I can guarantee you, you don't have to enter a triathlon and compete at the level that Dr. Wayne Pickering does. But you'll see some changes in your life. I've read and heard about many of those accounts personally from folks that have studied his work, taken his seminars, and tried it out. You have nothing to lose, and I think everything to gain. Dr. Pickering, I want to thank you for being on Evident Footprints, and remind our listening audience that you will be with us again next Wellness Wednesday. So has a nice ring to it, doesn't it?
Yes, I really like it. And I'm happy to be with you here on this. Don, you're doing a wonderful service. Thank you.
All right. Well, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and tonight's guest, Dr. Wayne Pickering. I want to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints either live or in an archive. Over at BBS Radio this evening, we had Seth Hendrick on the sound. I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be Ken Adachi and Z.S. Livingstone. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.